SNAP. SNAP recipients receive 50% off all produce. Weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly farm boxes will begin June 22nd with a discount farm box available for San Juan College students. sanjuancollege.edu/harvestfoodhub. It's 8 o'clock. It's Thursday morning, July 13th, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air right here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you want to listen anywhere else on the planet, you can ask your smart speaker to play KSJE or just go to our website on any device, ksje.com. We also want to welcome our viewers who are watching the program this morning. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel as well. So welcome aboard, everyone. We're glad that you are with us because coming up this morning, our focus is economic development, and we are speaking with Warren Unsicker, the Economic Development Director for the City of Farmington. He is also in charge of the Outdoor Recreation Industry Initiative in Farmington, otherwise known as ORI. We'll get the details on all the projects he is working on in the next few moments right here on KSJE. And then we hope you'll stay tuned because later on this hour, we'll be checking in with Sasha's Rainbow of Hope. They have several events that are coming up this summer. They're going to be sharing them with us today right here at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, of course, Mick Hess will take us roving with the arts. You can stay tuned for that after the news at 9:06 on KSJE. And a reminder to check out our latest On the Road program. It is a streaming-only program. You can watch it on Facebook and YouTube from Lions Wilderness Park, checking out the behind-the-scenes of Into the Woods, the summer theater offering from Sandstone Productions and the Four Corners Musical Theater Company, which is running, of course, throughout the month of July on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we invite you to check out our latest On the Road program, and we thank our sponsors and supporters for supporting our efforts, KSJE on the road. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Twitter account at KSJE_news or at KSJE and our Instagram page as well. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe to KSJE Podcasts wherever you're already probably listening to podcasts, places like iTunes and Pandora and Spotify and Google Podcasts. So do a search for KSJE and maybe discover a new local program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College this morning, sunshine, 70 degrees already. We're expecting a very hot day today. There's a heat advisory in effect between noon and 8 p.m. tonight, so do stay cool and hydrated. Today's high forecast, 98 degrees in Farmington, clearing overnight with a low of 62. Sunny and hot again tomorrow with a high of 100 expected on Friday, maybe 99 on Saturday, 101 on Sunday, topping out maybe at 103 with hot temperatures on Monday, 100 again on Tuesday, still mid to upper 90s for the rest of the week. Let me introduce my guest who is joining me this morning, talk a little bit about economic development and outdoor recreation. Warren Unsicker is here. He is, of course, the Economic Development Director for the City of Farmington and also the director of the ORI program, the Outdoor Recreation Industry Initiative. Welcome back to KSJE.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's been far too long.
It has been too long. But did I get most of your titles correct? Are there any new ones to add to the list?
No, thank goodness. I do still kind of have downtown under my purview
That's true.
But I don't get an extra title for that one.
I see. Well, but it keeps you busy. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's great to have you here to catch up a little bit on what you've been doing and how Farmington is doing. And, of course, we know downtown has kind of come back after the big renewal and lots of new things happening. And I think folks are figuring out the roundabouts.
Yes, yeah. And we just added public art to the downtown.
That's true. We did a whole show on public art.
Nine sculptures that have been installed in the downtown core. So go take a look. They are for sale, too.
That's true.
They will have plaques on them. You can scan a QR code and put in your credit card and take it home after it's done with its year-long stint on Main Street.
Exactly. I like the 15-foot hummingbird sculpture. Yes. I'm not sure my HOA would approve of it, but you never know, right?
You never know.
You can always try and see. But it's great to see. And I think it adds a certain cultural aspect to downtown Farmington, which is nice.
Absolutely. So, no, we're very pleased with how that turned out, and I think the public will be pleased as well.
Right. So. Very true. Well, congrats on that.
Thank you.
You are just back from a trip to Salt Lake City recently that I wanted to ask you about, and that was more of an outdoor recreation kind of conference?
Correct. So this is the Outdoor Retailer Show. And so not to be confused that we're trying to attract retailers in outdoor rec, but we're trying to attract the people that make the goods.
So
those people there with their booths are selling to retailers, trying to get them in the Dick's Sporting Goods of the world and such. We're trying to say, hey, you're making this thing. Why don't you come make it in Farmington? Why don't you come test it in Farmington? And so it was really a great opportunity to, again, get our brand out there, get us some notoriety with outdoor rec businesses. You know, it's all a part of this ORI initiative. It's three-pronged. We're trying to get tourism, you know, for the residents and visitors. We're trying to attract, you know, more trails and things that we're doing through parks. And then we're trying to get businesses that are going to help with adding more jobs to the community. And so, you see a lot of things that are built for outdoor rec, you know, bike racks and shoes and backpacks and MREs and bars and various different other things. And so we're like, hey, we've got all the resources you need here. We've got the workforce, we've got the skill sets, and we've got the terrain to go and test your product. So why not come do it here? And we were very pleased. We met with a lot of folks that were kind of at that ground level of their business, which is kind of where we want to catch them.
Right.
Is at that
not
entrepreneur.
Too big, not
right. They
yet.
Haven't really like settled in and gotten their manufacturing base built out. And so we were pleased to find a few of those out there. So,
nice. Yeah. And is the city's reputation kind of preceding it? Are folks having a little bit more awareness of what you're talking about
very
when you say
much.
I'm from Farmington?
Yeah.
Like, they don't say where?
Surprisingly so, yeah.
That's good.
It's very pleasing to go out there and be like, oh yeah, I've been through Farmington. I've been, you know, used to go to Farmington to camp or to do this. And so we're getting some notoriety. And for those that don't know about us, when we tell them what we have to offer or show a tourism guide to them, they're just blown away at what the opportunities are here. So.
And these are folks that may be setting up shop in a Denver, a Boulder, a Salt Lake, a Park City. I'm trying to think of other places.
Gunnison and places like
that.
That
are maybe more expensive, maybe a little bit more congested than you can when you show them Farmington and talk about what we have to offer.
Precisely,
that's what you're talking
right.
about.
Yep. No, the cost of doing business here is significantly lower than a lot of those places. And that's kind of what we sell them on, is say, hey, look, you know, yeah, you can go up to Denver and do this, but you're going to pay, you know, three times as much in rent. You're going to be paying twice as much for your workforce, and it's just going to be that much more difficult. Why not come here where you've got the workforce that's willing and ready to work, and then you've got, you know, spaces that are, you know, a third or a half the price of what you would pay elsewhere. And so we really try to push that benefit of coming here.
Nice. And of course, all this is kind of just investing in the future, right?
Correct.
You know, it's hard to kind of maybe know exactly which seed is going to sprout into maybe a new business, but you never know. I guess as folks are expanding and looking at maybe to relocate or what have
Precisely.
You.
Precisely, yeah. And some of them, like I say, they haven't even really hit that point. Some of them are literally like, hey, we're about to do a Kickstarter. You know, we're about to just launch this product. So they don't even know what capacity they're going to need yet. So we can, you know, sell them on, hey, you know, we've got these spaces here. You could probably come and set up shop quickly or come to the college here and set up in one of the bays for the incubator.
Right.
And you've got access to the makerspace. You've got all these resources at your disposal. And so we have a good value proposition for these folks. And so I think that we're making headway in getting that message out there.
Nice. And that's important too, because I'm sure as you were there, there were others from other communities there talking about their communities and the benefits of moving to that corner of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll see states as a whole. You'll see other communities with set up shop there. We seem to have a lot of excited responses when we tell them about Farmington. So
very good. You mentioned other states. Did New Mexico have a contingent at this particular?
So this one they did not this year. They've had them in the past, but they decided to mix, you know, spread the wealth in some other sectors this year round. But, you know, we held down the fort, so to speak, for New Mexico.
Right. But the state is still really promoting its outdoor recreation themes and visitation and things like that from a tourism standpoint, right?
Yeah, New Mexico True is still very, you know, prevalent. I know every time I travel, when I go through the airports, I see New Mexico True plastered on all the walls. I see their ads playing playing on the video screens. So, I mean, they're getting the word out there. They're trying to capture people where they're traveling and where they're going. And so I think that's helping immensely in putting Farmington and New Mexico on the map for folks that may just not even have a recollection or understanding of what there is to offer here.
Sure. And that's stuff that maybe we wouldn't as locals notice unless we're traveling like you are, because these are things that they're being really targeted at people not living here.
Correct.
But maybe wanting to travel here or visit here.
That's precisely right. Yeah, no, that is outbound marketing. It's not meant to be capturing folks here in town. And so that's where we come in. You know, we put the word out through the CVB and through the Parks Department and various different other avenues to share what activities are available here.
So. Right. You mentioned some of the, it sounds to me, a coordinated effort when we're talking about economic development and some of the outdoor recreation and things with the trails and paths and bike lanes and things like that, in addition to some of the other stuff that we're talking about. But that is an important, I think, component of this, is that everybody's kind of pulling in the same direction.
Precisely right. And, just recently, the Parks Department and ORI have received several grants to help build out some of those amenities. So we just received about nearly $850,000 to put toward the North Trail Extension. That's the extension of the River Trail system up around past the museum up there on 20th Street and onward up to Middle Fork Square area.
Around that side of the Animas River and that part of the river side.
Yes, yeah. And so that'll add almost 2.5 miles of additional river trail. We also just received a $2 million grant from the Gold King Mine Settlement that would go toward building out the river wave feature that we've been planning for several years. This would be an adjustable hydraulic wave feature in the river that would help with regulating the flow such that you can make the wave capable of handling surfing, like literal stand-up surfboard surfing in the Animas River.
Now, wait a minute. Just wait one
hold the front
one outdoor minute here, Warren Unsicker. What you're talking about, adding surfing capabilities to a spot of the Animas River in New Mexico, a landlocked state.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. Because,
and you have money to pay for it.
Yeah. Again, we've just received $2 million to help to construct this thing. And so this would be a huge attraction. It'd be right behind Gateway Museum there. Mm-hmm. So it's central to town. And really, visible. Long term, our hope is to attract more amenities at Gateway Park there, including private amenities like a restaurant or something. So you can sit on, a patio, eating and drinking, and watching people, play in the wave.
Yeah.
And, maybe fall over and biff it a couple times before they get it just right. So
that's my entertainment.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
Exactly. Sure. Okay.
So that's huge, and that Gateway Park is really becoming a destination place. We're adding a farmers market pavilion that we also just received a grant from the Gold King Mine for that will make a covered area for all the vendors and such to be able to back up into that area, set up shop, not be under the hot sun and being battered by the wind and the dust. It makes it that much easier for them to keep their produce fresh.
A permanent pavilion then in that spot for the growers market, and then I guess you could use it for other things too when you're not doing growers markets, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it just becomes a multi-purpose center, but it really is a huge benefit to farmers and those vendors that go to the farmers market, and to the public too. It's a lot more pleasant experience to be able to wander around inside of kind of a enclosed space while you're doing that kind of shopping, and be able to actually see it, not be having to block the sun while you're looking at what produce you want to grab. But this is ongoing. I mentioned the foodstuffs that you make for Outdoor Rec. We see it kind of all interconnected, and so likewise on the farmers. Perspective and food entrepreneurs. The college has received a $900,000 grant to finalize the second phase of the food hub that the city has partnered with them on down at the old roof shelter building. We've converted that. It's now the hub where you can go and buy fresh produce, get your kind of CSA food boxes.
Right.
But soon we'll be adding a kitchen to that. So that'll be a test kitchen for entrepreneurs that are making their own foodstuffs to be able to go and use a commercial kitchen.
Very nice. And the idea being that if I've got a salsa recipe or something that I want to make and sell, I have to do that in a certified kitchen. I can't do it just in my own kitchen necessarily.
Right.
And so this would allow folks to maybe do that. And then at a larger scale, perhaps, to to make enough to actually sell.
Yeah, exactly right. So this is a huge addition to our entrepreneurial efforts to provide services and assistance to get these businesses off and running. And so it's hand in glove fit with everything else we're trying to accomplish. So.
Very exciting. I have to go back to the surfing thing,
please,
though, if you don't mind. It's just stuck in my mind that it's a really cool thing, and yes. I haven't heard of anything else like it.
Yeah.
In the area, maybe I'm mistaken because I'm not a surfer. Guess surprise, surprise. Yeah. But what does I mean? Is there anything else like it that we could look at?
Yeah, no. There's some in Ohio, of all places.
All right,
A lot of these, kind of more landlocked
sure,
states that are
I
trying to add unique amenities.
Okay.
And so there are some within a few hours' distance from us. But this will be a really unique thing for being in the high desert and in the middle
right.
of this area here to draw people in. And it's a multi-purpose project too, because we actually partnered with the North Farmington Ditch. I don't know if you saw the videos from the previous couple of years where they had log jams getting stuck in that ditch that used to go around the curve there past the museum. We're actually going to be adding a ditch diversion in the wave feature, so that it'll help alleviate that problem as the water can freely flow down to that ditch
okay.
there. It'll also have a fish ladder, too, so that we're not inhibiting the flow of fish going up the river to spawn and do whatever it is they do as they're going up the river. And so this will be kind of a three-pronged approach as we put in this recreation amenity.
Got it. Maybe that explains the cost a bit more, too,
is
that there's multiple bits to mm-hmm. phases to this project that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I guess for just folks that are maybe on the water in a mm-hmm. inner tube or raft that are coming through, I mean, is there a way to, are they going to go over this thing or through it or around it?
It'll depend on what the flow is looking like that day. So, I mean, we can regulate it for kayaking, regulate it for tubing, regulate it for surfing. So it's just kind of, a multi-purpose, multi-faceted device that
right.
can really help with that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. And of course, it's all dependent on flows as well.
Absolutely.
You're like this year when we have lots of water, which we love, that's a good year for stuff like this.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that it can regulate around the flow a little bit more, so that even if the flow is down a little bit, you just ratchet it a little different angle, and it's going to be able to still produce that wave if you wanted to.
So, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it, but I can't wait to see it.
I am not a hydrologist. No,
well, that's all right.
I make no aspirations to become one, so I...
But it sounds like a great addition to the other outdoor amenities that the city has been investing in and doing, going from Lake Farmington, of course, to the Bisti Bay, of course, mm-hmm. and some of the other things, just a big investment in Pinyon Hills Golf Course, but lots of investment from the city that I think hopes to do what it sounds like you hope this to do as well, which is to attract visitors and provide amenities for people who live here.
Absolutely.
And other people that maybe want to start a business here or move a business here.
That's exactly
all of
right.
these things kind of adding on top of each other, right? These value-added things.
And it all leads to a quality of place. And for me, that's all workforce development and attraction and retention. Because if people like living here, they're going to stay here longer. They're going to either start businesses or join the businesses that are already here. We saw in 2022 a huge push to buy property here. Real estate was hard to find. And so I think people kind of gotten that message. They're looking at, I'm living in, Denver or California, and I'm paying in a shoebox for $1.3 million. And so they've cashed out of those things and said, I can go and set up shop here in Farmington, buy a huge house, and have money to spare to invest in my next, business or retirement plan or whatever it is. And so we're starting to see more and more of that. I don't know if you've looked around. There's a lot of plates that I don't recognize and on the cars running around.
Town. Right.
So
true.
It's interesting to see who we're drawing into Farmington. So.
Very true. Well, and again, they can afford a house with two home offices, perhaps.
Precisely.
And and do just fine here. And so that's an important part of this as well. You're also looking for public comment about an area of town that is kind of, I guess, ripe for development. Is that a good term to say?
Probably not everyone's familiar with the designation of the MRA, the Metropolitan Redevelopment Area. It is a four-district area downtown that is what's considered blighted. The state designation allows us to do more redevelopment projects and assist with entrepreneurs and people looking to rehash and redevelop buildings that are maybe in disrepair. We've used it to demolish buildings. We've used it to build out new businesses and add amenities.
Roughly an area from maybe Apache Street south to the river?
So, it goes from
Butler
over to little bit past Apache and down to the river and up north to, I believe, Apache's the north end, and
yes,
then over to, I can't remember the side street, but just past the hospital is the best way to allocate to
kind of Lake Street area, that area, maybe Murray Drive a little bit too further west, but
yeah,
you get the idea.
Yes.
But the downtown area, yeah, and a little bit beyond, a few blocks beyond, is what we're talking about.
And so the area that we're specifically looking at is called the Animas Action Plan area, and it includes the healthcare hub and Animas District. And so these areas, one obviously is very dedicated to healthcare. You've got a lot of doctor's offices, a lot of peripheral services for medical, as well as the hospital. And then to the east side, you've got the Animas District, a little more industrial space, a little more residential in that area. And so what we're trying to do is come up with a long-term vision of, okay, what can we do with these areas to bolster them, to do not necessarily exactly what we've done with downtown, but to provide more walkability, more businesses, more recreation amenities, connection to the river, making more housing for the hospital areas. So we've got a lot of traveling nurses, we've got doctors, we've got people that want to live near that space. And so we're right now seeking comment from folks to say, hey, this is what I've always wanted to see there. These are the issues I've seen driving through or working in or, being a part of that area. And so we want to know what people are experiencing. Maybe we missed something or didn't see something. Our consultants are working hard to provide with some visual visioning for that area as well, so we can get a feel for what it might look like in the future.
Got you. And all these things are online. You've
Correct.
Got a nice website that's mm-hmm. there. Folks can look at the plan. Yeah. We're showing you kind of an overview right now of the area of town we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But again, this Animas District, Animas area, kind of borders on the Animas River.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the healthcare hub, which the hospital seems to have been doing its own development in
sure.
and around its main building.
Absolutely.
But some of the other office buildings that have been constructed yeah. in the area seem to follow kind of a theme, if you will,
yeah.
or a design theme.
Absolutely. And we're actually in the process right now. We have a building down there that the city owns that we're going to be looking for potential development opportunities with that space. So there's again, already projects that have occurred in this area. We launched a incubator of sorts down there at Miller and Pinion with the Bear Automotive and the uh-huh. Desert River Guides. We put in the food hub, which is over there on Animas Street.
Right.
So there's already been some developments occurring down there. And so
and I'm thinking too of the county with the health department and the mm-hmm. district attorney's office. Those are also located in this area
Absolutely.
That we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That are relatively newer developments.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. So it's starting to see some change and see some growth, and we just want to see how we can accelerate that or what additions we can add to it to help bolster that effort.
And the history of this area too is industrial, I think,
Correct.
And healthcare, of course. The yeah. hospital's been there for a while, but this was where the railroad ended,
mm-hmm.
if I recall my history correctly,
yes.
In Farmington, and there was quite the rail infrastructure
yeah.
That had kind of been there, gone away,
yeah.
and now things have sprouted up. Now, if I have an existing business there, should I be worried that
no.
the city wants to green me up or change
no.
it around to maybe more something different?
No, and that's the thing, is that these are not retroactive. These aren't things that we come into an existing business and say, oh, well, we changed the rules, now you have to do this. It's really more towards future focus of like, okay, when these buildings are going up for sale, they have more options or different options to be able to convert it into something else or to be able to do new things in the area. So, and again, too, just to provide visioning for those people, because we've seen a lot of that in downtown of people coming to us and saying, hey, we've seen your MRA plan. We like what you're proposing. We want to be a part of that. What can we do to fit in that? And
right.
so this will just provide that much more guidance to those types of businesses and developers that want to come and be a part of that vision.
Got it. And I guess it's important to say, the city really doesn't have the budget or necessarily the say to say, we want this type of a restaurant
right.
here, or we want,
yeah,
and the
yeah.
city doesn't determine where a Taco Bell goes or where
right.
a Kentucky Fried Chicken goes
yep.
or whatever.
Or how many chicken places we have.
Right.
Or, different variations.
It really is
yeah.
the business that
Precisely.
Drives that, correct?
And honestly, it's the consumers that drive that, too.
Right.
They
now,
look,
you can determine whether they build a Taco Bell next to my house because maybe
right.
the zoning isn't right.
Yeah, absolutely. So existing zoning and rights of the property owners are what dictate that. And then again, what they've looked at on traffic patterns and the density of people, they decide, that's where I want to put my business. And so we only have so much say on that, like you said, from a zoning and permitting perspective or special use permit type
right.
of situation.
But you could say, I suppose, that in an area like we're talking about, with that you're looking for a comment on, is that we don't want railroads anymore. Maybe in this part of Farmington, we would prefer maybe multifamily housing, or we would prefer maybe small business, or or something along that line. Yeah. Is that a great way to explain it?
Absolutely. You can see where multifamily would assist with the workforce for the hospital, likewise workforce for just down in downtown for all the restaurants and businesses there and the banks. And so there's some synergy there. And the growth that's happening in downtown is going to slowly bleed north and south and have reason for developing more of this kind of amenities to help serve that.
Right. But again, it's not the city's job to build apartment buildings.
No.
But if you had a developer, you might want to work with them.
Precisely.
To provide maybe some incentives or some ways to maybe make it more affordable to build in this area as opposed to the other side of town?
Right. Well, and the thing is, too, the MRA district actually affords us certain capabilities that we don't have elsewhere in town. And so we are able to be more flexible in those kinds of assistance that we provide to businesses downtown.
Got you. Tools in a toolkit, I suppose.
Exactly right.
Would be another turn of phrase. But
precisely.
But this is what you're looking for. And again, as we're looking at another map here of the area that we're talking about, the healthcare hub right around the hospital, and doing certain things for, as you mentioned, the healthcare workers and maybe some housing in that area, things along that line. The other part that I think is important to talk about, that maybe linking the river areas to downtown, because there's a few block area there where it's not quite as connected as maybe you'd like it to be.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that would be more on the city's shoulders, to be able to go in and beautify like we did downtown, adding more walkability, more landscaping, you know, wire shoulders, whatever it may be, to help connect those two areas from a walkability and accessibility perspective. And so that's been a vision for downtown interconnectivity with the river through the Animus District for quite a while. But this will help solidify that and make it more, I think, attainable moving forward. So we're really hoping that this, you know, helps us make that plan more concrete.
Right. Understood. And of course, going back to our previous conversation about the trail system, you now have almost a continuous trail from, the confluence, Among the Waters Trail, all the way to almost the museum. Is that about right?
It's over to where the animal shelter, Animus Park there.
Right.
And so, beautiful way to spend an afternoon going from one end of town to the other. And yeah, our vision is to eventually interconnect that all the way up to that Middle Fork Square area. And I believe it's Dean Heist Park area that the city owns that we would look to develop as well. So the sky's the limit. We're continuing to push that effort and really expand it. Right now, I think we have 8 miles of contiguous trail, and this will just continue to expand.
Right. Very cool. And again, if you can link it to downtown, all the better.
Exactly right.
And bike trails and other things are all part of this conversation as well, right?
Right. And the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, just is in the process of finalizing a bike plan and a mobility plan for the area as well. And so that'll take into account, you know, where and how we need to expand our biking capabilities. We did just, in the past few years, add more bike trails throughout town. You'll see signage now saying this is a bike route. And so shared lanes, you know, full dedicated bike lanes. So that's only going to expand, I think, as we move forward.
Got you. And that is a city initiative? Is the state involved with this too, or the federal government for funding, or?
It depends on what we can acquire for different projects. And of course, with the state roads, we have to get more permissions from the state to, you know, do certain things. But we've made a lot of headway again, and even just restriping certain areas or reducing traffic lanes, things like that.
So. Right. Very good. And so with all this on the drawing board, Born on Sugar, what's next? I mean, what's on your short-term plan, long-term plan?
Yeah,
can you give us
some
ideas?
Well, I mean, we've talked about a few of those long-range initiatives, but, you know, we're continuing to push on what's the next step in energy. You know, that's kind of the next big thing of figuring out, you know, hydrogen. How are we going to capture and utilize that next energy innovation to help garner, create more jobs here and keep jobs here? You know, one of the fuel sources for that is natural gas. Others is solar energy and water, of course. And so we have a lot of that ready to go here in Farmington and San Juan County. And so we're a prime location for innovation and development of hydrogen energy. So.
Gotcha. Now, some of that maybe wouldn't happen within the city limits, perhaps. Correct. It's more of a regional project. Is that still what you're talking about?
Absolutely correct. Yeah, and we're partnering with Forsed and with the college and with other partners to help catalyze that here in the area.
Right. But it would certainly be an economic driver if it were to come to pass.
Absolutely.
These big hydrogen hub projects and things like that we hear about.
A lot of federal dollars out there for this initiative.
A lot of federal dollars.
You know, a lot of hands in the pie, so to speak, of partners coming to the table to try and make this happen. So.
Right. But it seems like New Mexico is trying to partner with other states in the region to create a more stronger argument, I guess, to the federal government.
Exactly right. It's kind of a four-state coalition that we're trying to push. And so each of the states have different strengths, different capabilities, and things they can bring to the table. You know, we have the labs here in New Mexico. We've got the workforce up here, the production capability, the, you know, pipeline capabilities, the even transfer of energy. You know, we have a lot of transmission capability up here because of the PNM mine and plant that was up there.
Right.
So all of that coalesces to make a compelling argument for why we would be a good place for that.
Right. And I know a lot of folks would say, why haven't we seen it already? But it takes time, I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think there was just a story, though, about a solar project, a major solar project breaking ground or at least starting construction on the west side of the county, I guess, maybe replace some of the power that has been lost.
Right. And I believe a lot of that is probably going towards PNM because I know they have to replace all that power that they were generating here in San Juan County. But, yeah, just to the east of the San Juan Generating Station, there's a solar plant planned there. So, things are coming along and really shifting and changing quickly as far as energy goes.
Right. No, that's very true. And I think for folks who have been in the traditional energy extractive industries for decades, it is coming pretty fast and furious and quick for folks. Speaking of which, the rail project, I want to ask you a bit about that. I know it's not the city is working with the county and the Navajo Nation, but the city certainly is a player in this development, the potential for it as well.
Absolutely. And you know, we've been on partner for a while now in this endeavor. The county has taken the lead on a $2 million grant from the DOT.
A planning grant, really.
A planning grant. Yeah, it's a route alignment and demand analysis. So this would look at, you know, the big picture of San Juan County going south to the I-40 to figure out where is the best path, where's the lowest grade change, and where's the least path of least resistance from a right-of-way and permitting perspective. And so they've held several public input sessions. We held one here. We held one out in Newcomb and out in Waterflow, I believe, and a couple others. So we're continuing to garner public input, find out what their needs are, what their concerns are, and how we can make this a possibility. This is, I think, the closest we've ever been to making, you know, real headway on the rail project before. You know, we had some people at the table, but not all the right people. And honestly, the transition between the two presidents of the Navajo Nation, agreement between the county and the nation was signed with the previous president, but thankfully the new president is on board with the project, interested in seeing it come to fruition, and so we're excited to be able to work with the new leadership of the nation to really help, you know, push this forward, hopefully.
And that's an important distinction, because if you don't have the support of the Navajo Nation, this isn't going anywhere.
Right. It's just by the sheer nature of our communities, they're interconnected. You've got, you know, checkerboard going south, or, you know, Navajo Nation land, or, you know, Alati lands. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to have that partnership, and it's critical. And honestly, it's going to be an economic driver for the nation as well. You create new intersects with industry as you go down that line. And so it's really exciting for the entire community as a whole, and even Colorado's been dipping a toe and wanting to know when it's coming. Can it come all the way up here? How do we connect to it? You know, how do we get in on this? Because, you know, there's so much agriculture up there. There's so many other industries that are right now having to go up and over the mountains to get their product somewhere. This would really bridge that gap significantly for them.
That sounds expensive if you need to go over the mountains with anything, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
So that's part of what we're looking at. This planning grant, I guess, should put down in black and white exactly what the costs are, what the benefits are, what maybe the challenges are,
exactly,
all those types of things. It's not a cut and dried thing, and it's still a expensive proposition. But but as you mentioned, we are still further along than at any other time, because I know a lot of folks will say, well, we talked about this back in the 60s and it didn't go anywhere.
Right, right. Well, and the other thing too is the timing is ripe for once we complete this grant, we are then primed and ready with the feds to apply for the broader payment for the actual implementation grants. There's one called the Mega Grant, there's the Bridge Grant, there's several that are multi-million, hundreds of millions of dollar grants that could go towards building this rail. And so it's, again, kind of the perfect storm of opportunity that we can want to try and take advantage of.
Right. And I noticed, and I wish I had it to display, and I don't, but there was a map, a transportation map, I think, of the country, of maybe interstate highways and rail lines and things like that. And if you look at the over the four corners, it's a big, giant, pretty white space. There's really nothing there.
Absolutely.
And this would fill that that transportation
significantly
gap.
Significantly so.
Which I know is an economic hindrance sometimes when you're trying to attract a business. Yeah. Manufacturing anything because they have to move their stuff.
Yeah, I actually did a little bit of a quick analysis on my part. We receive these things called PROs from the state that are opportunities for us to basically throw our hat in the ring on projects. And so many of them say rail required, needs to be this far from a rail spur, et cetera. I mushed all those together over about a four-year period, and it was over $2 billion with a B dollars in missed economic opportunity and investment that we could have put our hat in the ring for. Now, not to say we would have gotten them all, but that's just all these missed opportunities that we couldn't even, you know, begin to compete with.
Right. And I guess not to say that maybe they're all looking for rail, but it's either rail or an interstate highway or an international airport. And out of those three, probably our easiest target, it might be the rail target.
Well, and the airport too, we're, you know, obviously we're not an international airport, but we're working diligently to try and bring commercial service back there. Our airport manager, Michael Lewis, has been working very diligently to expand our runways and to add more amenities to the airport. Again, using federal grants that require very little match from us as a city to add those amenities such that we can handle jet service. And so that's been, work's been done. Now we're just trying to get the players to the table able to bring air service back there.
Right, and that's an important thing to note as well, is that the airport is primed and ready, I think, and can handle that type of service when you find a carrier that is willing to make that investment.
Yep.
And I think we're seeing some of the air traveling public numbers rebounding a little bit since COVID, and that's been, I think, why it's been so long.
That has been a big factor in how long it's taken to get.
And there's a pilot issue as well, I know, with training and things like that too, right? That's also is part of that.
Yes, exactly. So that's one of those things that's not in our control, unfortunately, but we can be primed and ready for when that changes and when that finally shakes loose to be able to welcome them with open arms.
Right, but certainly an operating commercial airport for passenger traffic certainly is an economic driver to any community.
Absolutely, and that'll be huge for us as citizens. It'll, you know, help equalize prices, you know, between having to go to Albuquerque or Durango. It'll help with leveling that price competition, and so I think it'll be a huge boon for the area.
Very true, very true. Well, Warren Unsicker, we are out of time this morning, I'm sorry to say, but we've talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, covered a lot of ground.
And I really appreciate it. There's a lot that the city is doing and that you are doing, and it's hopeful for folks who live here, who want to live here, who are excited about living here, but to see it all come to fruition, hopefully.
Excellent.
So thanks for being here.
Hey, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Good to see you. Warren Unsicker, my guest this morning. He is the Economic Development Director with the City of Farmington, my guest here on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. KSJE is supported by Music in the Mountains, a world-class classical music festival based in Durango, Colorado, offering orchestra, chamber, and world music concerts from July 6th through July 30th. This year, the concerts come to you with free mobile stage performances in the region, plus other unique venues throughout the area. Find out more at musicinthemountains.com.
This July, go on a storybook adventure with Cinderella, Rapunzel, and Little Red Riding Hood as Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods opens July 6th in the beautiful Lions Wilderness Amphitheater. With performances Thursday through Sunday evenings until July 30th, don't miss this darkly entertaining show featuring a variety of characters from Brothers Grimm Fairy Tales. This production will cast a spell as the story unfolds, so be careful when you go into the woods. For more information on this jolt-worthy entertainment coming this summer, visit farmingtonnm.org.